with that. I have a request from Ethel this morning that I share this with you. I'm not too sure why, but it's something to do with what happened to me this past week. But I'll let you see what you think. $5.31. That's what the kid behind the counter at Taco Bell said to me. I dug into my pocket, pulled out some lint and two dimes and something that used to be a Jolly Rancher, I presume it's a lolly or something. Having already handed the kid a five spot, I started to head back up to the truck to grab some change. When the kid with the Elmo hairdo said the hardest thing anyone has ever said to me, he said, "It's okay, I'll just give you the senior citizen's discount." I turned to see who he was talking to and then heard the sound of change hitting the counter in front of me. "Only $4.68, he said cheerfully. I stood there stupefied. I am 58. Not even 60 yet, a mere child, senior citizen. Well, I took my burrito and walked out to the truck, wondering what was wrong with Elmo. Was he blind? As I sat in the truck, my blood began to boil. Old? Me? I'll show him, I thought. I opened the door, headed back inside, and strode to the counter, and there he was waiting with a smile. Before I could say a word, he held up something and jingled it in front of me, like I could be that easily distracted. What am I now, a toddler? Dude, can't get too far without your car keys. I stared with utter disdain at the keys and I began to rationalize in my mind. Leaving keys behind hardly makes a man elderly. It could happen to anyone. I turned and headed back to the truck. I slipped the key into the ignition, but it wouldn't turn. What now? I checked my keys and tried another. Still nothing. That's when I noticed the purple beads hanging from my rear view mirror. I had no purple beads hanging from my rear view mirror. Then a few other objects came into focus. The car seat in the back seat, Happy Meal toys spread around all over the floorboard, partially eaten donut on the dashboard. Faster than you can say Ginkgo biloba, I flew out of the alien truck. Moments later, I was speeding out of the parking lot, relieved to be finally leaving this nightmarish stop in my life. That is when I felt it, deep in the bowels of my stomach, hunger. My stomach growled and churned and I reached to grab my burrito, only it was nowhere to be found. I swung the truck around, gathered my courage, strode back to the restaurant one final time, and there it almost stood, draped in youth and black nail polish. All I could think was, what is the world coming to? All I could say was, did I leave my food and drink in here? And at this point, I was ready to ask a Boy Scout to come help me back to my vehicle and then go straight home and apply for Social Security benefits. Elmo had no clue. I walked back out to the truck and suddenly a young lad came up, tugged on my jeans and got my attention. He was holding up a drink and a bag. His mother explained, "I think you left this in my truck by mistake." I took the food and the drink from the little boy and sheepishly apologized. She offered some kind words. "It's okay. My grandfather does that stuff all the time." All of this is to explain how I got a speeding ticket, 85 miles per hour in a 40 miles per hour zone. Yes, I was racing some punk kid in a Toyota Prius. And no, I told the officer, I'm not too old to be driving this fast. As I walked in the front door, my wife met me halfway down the hall. I handed her a bag of cold food and a $300 speeding ticket. I promptly sat in my rocking chair and covered up my legs with a blankie. The good news was that I successfully found my way home. It could be explained some other time in history. There's a message in there somewhere, I know. Last year, you may have remembered if you were around, we encouraged you to find a word for the year. Some, you know, God would give you a word, which is a fairly ancient practice, but one that's really worthwhile. So my question today is, has God given you a word for this year? Something that will speak into your life continually. Sometimes the word finds you. And that's so for me. And so my word for this year is deeper. Deeper. Because I came to realize that so often I look at scripture, particularly and my own life and the Christian life, and it's at a fairly superficial level. And there's quite an encouragement, really, to go deeper. And what does that mean? Well, it means that gold is not generally found on the surface. You've got to dig down to get that stuff. It requires some hard work. And sometimes we expect all good things to come to us without work. We can expect it, but we might be waiting quite a while. So I want to read to you this morning from Mark chapter 12. Reading from verse 28, and this is in God's Word translation of all things. One of the experts in Moses' teaching went to Jesus during the argument with the Sadducees, and he saw how well Jesus answered them, so he asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of them all?" And Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second most important commandment is this: love your neighbor as you love yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." The expert in Moses' teaching said to Jesus, "Rabbi, that was well said. You have told the truth that there is only one God and no other beside him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus heard how wisely the man answered, he told the man, "You're not too far from God's kingdom." After that, no one dared to ask him another question. I want you to listen this morning. You've already caught that, haven't you? I want you to listen this morning, but listen to this DVD as Joe plays it. It may be a little, I'm not going to say too much, apart from the fact that I'd encourage you to listen carefully. Thanks, Joe.
Oh,
So, what did you hear?
The voice got younger.
The voice got younger? Mm-hmm. True.
Two names of God.
Names of God? Anything else? The child was copying the dad. Everything that the adult did, the child did. That's one thing. Anything else? You're looking all puzzled, I know. All shall be revealed. The Shema. S-H-E-M-A. Pronounced Shema. Is something that is called to Israel two times every day. In every home that is a devout home, the Shema is said and recited every day, in the morning and in the evening. And children are encouraged to recite it so they learn it and they hear it all the time. It means listen. This is a quote from Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, and he said, "The recital of the Shema is a supreme act of faith as listening to the voice that brought the universe into being, created us in love, and guides us through our lives." There's a story. In 1945, Rabbi Eliezer Silber headed up the research for thousands of displaced Jewish children across Europe. They had been hidden from the clutches of the Nazis on farms and in convents and monasteries, and now he sought to return them to their families, if at all possible. The rabbi had promised, promising leads with a report that a monastery in southern France had taken in Jewish children, but the priest in charge was of little help, declaring that to his knowledge, all of their children were Christians. And Rabbi Silver could produce no records. Schwartz, Kaufmann, Schneider, these family names were obviously German, but they could be either Jewish or Gentile. And he scanned their small faces. Many had lived there since they were toddlers. How could he know if any of them were from Jewish families? He asked if he could visit the wards. And in front of the children, he began singing in Hebrew, "Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And a handful of faces lit up, and tiny voices from around the room joined in. They recognized these ancient words from their bedtime prayers and from their earliest memories of their mothers and fathers, reciting them each morning and evening during their own prayers. And so he found them because they had learned to recite the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And you've heard that, you've read it in Deuteronomy. I'm sure you have. I'd never heard of the Shema, really. Had you? Anybody heard of it? It seems a little strange, a little weird. And by the way, David, what on earth are you doing with us this morning by sharing this? What's this got to do with anything? Quite a lot, really. As we're going through this little series on following in the dust of our Rabbi Yeshua, learning those words that we read so often in the scriptures, what do they, we superimpose over the top our own Western and Kiwi sort of understanding and bias. We can't help but do anything else than that, can we, really? And so we don't know Hebrew, we're not. Anybody here from a Hebrew culture? Anybody been to Israel? Is it a bit different over there? In ancient Hebrew, there was all kinds of things going on that we struggle to connect with. And I hope and I trust that over these next weeks, we'll get just some glimpses. That's all it will be, just some glimpses. So for thousands of years, not hundreds of years, but throughout thousands of years, the Shema has been recited in homes to Hebrew children. Oh, by the by, currently in the United States, which I know just a tad about, there is no record of Hebrew children in the youth penal system in the United States. No Hebrew children in trouble with the law. That's what that means. And I wonder if it's got something to do with the culture in which they're brought up. I wonder if it's got something to do with the Shema that they've been taught since they were very little. This was central to Jesus' teaching. And in the scripture that we read, it's pretty important that we grab hold of why Jesus said what he said. What's the most important commandment? And he started by reciting the Shema. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Eternal One is our God, and the Eternal One is the only God. You should love him with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." That's everything we've got. And the second great commandment is this: love others in the same way that you love yourself. So morning and evening, for thousands of years, Hebrew people have heard this. You know that text, love your neighbor as yourself? I even found that was there in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. I'll read it to you. "Do not seek revenge or hold a grudge against any of your people. Instead, love your neighbor as you love yourself." So when Jesus spoke back to the Sadducee, he gave him and he quoted what he knew from Scripture. We read it and we think, yeah, we should love our neighbor as ourselves, but I'm not too sure I love myself that much. So we need to go a little bit deeper. I used to think that the scribe's question in the story was legalistic. It was kind of a quiz. And that Jesus' talk of love rather than law would have shocked and scandalized the audience. But I soon discovered that every word of Jesus came from the Scripture back to him. And he would hear it, and he would know it, and he would understand it. The lawyer's question wasn't silly. It wasn't foolish, and it wasn't trite. It was an invitation to participate in this fascinating debate among the rabbinic teachers of the day. And the lawyer's question was simply this: what is the greatest essence of the teaching of our God? What is it? What is it? And Jesus gave it to him. And is that relevant for us today? That we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, mind, and love our neighbors ourselves? Is it really? It's the essence of what this whole thing is all about. But the thing that's before it is pretty critical. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Natdal Waitaka. Hear that the Lord our God is one. The only one. The only God. So, what unwraps all this stuff for us? It really is the fact that we need to understand a little bit about what Shema really means. So, are you okay with that? Okay, we go with that? Okay, I'm glad you agreed. So the goal of answering this classic question is this: not to summarize the Bible in one's own words, choose one verse that distilled the rest. It was focusing our thinking on one thing that helps us understand the ways of God. So when we hear the lawyer's question in light of the Jewish context, we might see how really profound this question was. And Jesus' answer is just as profound. So let's look at this just for a few moments, shall we? It's very simple. I want to focus on it just for if you'll bear with me, because I think all shall be revealed as we go along. Shema, Shema. Hear, listen, and obey. We used to say, get your tarnines on, you know. Remember that saying that so often you heard in the parables that Jesus would say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Remember that? Why did he say that? Because the word hear or listen, Shema, has a different meaning than the one we just put on. You know, if I was to say to the kids, and you as a parent, if you're a parent, were to say to the kids, "Look, would you go and pick up all that stuff that you've left out there, that big mess, and clean it up," they would hear you. But did it motivate them to action, or was it just something that was reverberating on their eardrums? How often have you heard something but it didn't motivate you to action? Oh, all the time. All the time. It's amazing how we as 21st century Christians hear something, but we don't hear it because it doesn't involve any action. True? Or we hear wrongly. You know, sometimes we're hearing, but we're just not listening. It's so easy for that to happen. So, to hear is to do. The natural outcome of listening should be some response. So, in the Psalms, David pleads, "O Lord, please hear my prayer." Was he concerned that God wasn't listening? No. God wasn't deaf. He was calling on God to take some action. "Hear me, O God. Take some action. Do something. Please." When the angel appeared to Zechariah to announce that his wife Elizabeth was pregnant to John in her old age, he declared that their prayer had been Shema, heard. God was answering the barren couple's prayerful longings to have a child. When they prayed, there was some action. Zacharias, "Your prayers have been heard. Your wife is going to have a son, and you'll name him John, and he will bring you great joy and happiness, and many will share your joy at John's birth." When we pray and we ask God to hear our prayer, what are we saying? That God would act on it. True? God would act on it. So, how does this help us unlock this word, Shema? It's saying, "Take heed, Israel. The Lord is your only God. Hear me, Israel. The Lord is your only God." He is the only one. There is no one else. There's no idol, no thinking, no different. He is the only one. You can hear God saying this in Psalm 81. Listen as I say these words. "Hear me, Shema. Hear me, my people. And I will warn you, if you would only Shema to me, listen to me. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would only listen to me. If Israel would only follow my ways. How quickly would I subdue their enemies, turn my hand against their foes, and you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you." We live in a nation that I believe is in critical danger of something. I don't want to be maladroit when I say it, but I believe that we're a nation of not listening. We're just not hearing. We're not hearing what's going on around us. We're not hearing world events. We're hearing and seeing, but not hearing and not seeing. About the state of who we're, of what we're into as a world, of what's happening to our humanity, of what's happening to life and the cheapness of it, of what's happening to dignity, of what's happening to justice. We're listening, and some of us listen to the news on TV or on the radio or somewhere, and we're not listening. We're not hearing. Because when we listen, there has to be some action. That's what this word means. We hear about injustice, but it doesn't produce action in us. Shema. If only my people would listen to me. Having ears to hear. Understanding the word Shema also helps us to see why Jesus concluded his teaching with, "You've got ears to hear. Hear. You've heard my teaching. Now take it to heart and obey it." That's what it means. The Hebrew word Shema means to hear and obey. It's got to be a word of action. Parable of the sower, which is pretty relevant to us here. What was that about? It was about hearing, wasn't it? About the word of God, and there were four different types of hearing that happened in that. And we could just apply it naturally to the soil, to the seed, and we do that so well. But sometimes we miss hearing what the actual parable is saying. You're hearing it, But there's only one type of hearing that is involving action. The other three didn't. Hear. Receive the word with faith and obedience. And we're all like that. I think we could apply that parable to all of our lives. I could to mine. And I go through my life and there's some times when I'm hard. And I'm just not listening. Sometimes when I hear it and say, oh, that was good. I like that. And I just start to get with the program and it's gone. And other times when I hear, my word, I know what you're saying, God, but I got this to do and I got that to do. And the cares of this life choke it up. The thorns that it talks about. You see, we can hear, but not hear. Hear, but not hear. When Christ's kingdom takes hold of the few who will shema, hear and obey, what kind of an impact would that have? When the seed falls on good soil, it produces a hundredfold, which is the highest number in Hebrew thinking about producing. A hundredfold. Something incredible is going to happen when we hear. You know, we have a lot of talk about revival. I've heard us pray for revival. Anybody out there? We're praying for revival. Are people here praying for revival? If we shema, if we hear what we are praying, it will produce revival in us. That's why this word is relevant. That's why this word is so critical for today. That's why Jesus said what he said. That's why for thousands of years the Shema has been recited. Hear, O Israel, hear the passion in that call of that man to prayer. Hear the passion in the child that copied it. Remember, we started the series with talking about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. When Jesus calls us, when our rabbi calls us, he's calling us because he trusts us and he believes in us that we could be like him and do what he does. Because hearing involves action. Tried to do the best I could on this. I can't quite get it 100% accurate, but there's something like, in the biblical Hebrew, there are only 8,000 words. In English, it's something like 400,000. That's a lot of difference. So each word in Hebrew is compact. It's full of all kinds of things. So when God says hear, it's not just hear. It's full of understanding, comprehension, obedience, action. It's all those things when he says hear. Each word can be just incredible. I'm just having so much fun. Thank you for allowing me to do this. In looking at some of these words, because I'm thinking, well, but the problem with doing this, researching this, looking at this, is I've become a little bit more responsible for what I've got to do, not just hear. The word remember can mean to act on someone's behalf. In Genesis 8:1, it says that God remembered Noah, and he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. Remember that? God remembered Noah. I mean, we kind of might think, well, God didn't just wake up one morning, suddenly recall that the ark was out there bobbing on the water. He remembered that, so better go and sort it out. No, the word remember was acting on his behalf. Because why? He had heard Noah's prayer. To know another person. We would think, well, to know another person, well, I know Jeff. Yeah, he's a pretty crash hot fisherman. I know Jeff. But this is what it means in biblical Hebrew. To know another person is to have a relationship with them, to care about them, even to be intimate with them. When Adam knew Eve, she conceived Cain. Cain is a Freudian slip or something. Hebrew very plain, very majestic, and a very glorious language. I wonder why God in his wisdom chose the Hebrew nation for the Messiah to be born through. I wonder why, you know, when you think of this, when I found out and discovered that there are no, I mean, it's not to say Hebrew children don't go off the rails, but in principle, in the United States, when there is no record of Hebrew children in trouble with the law, it's a huge statement that they're doing something right in their culture. What about our lot? Discipleship is more than a program of learning some scripture memory. You know, I did that when I was younger in the faith. Some of you here have done that. Some of you, you know, can recite hundreds of Bible verses. But Shema means that when you hear, you act. So if I hear and I don't act, what does that mean? What does that mean? The logic of Hebrew, not the only language, but it's one that God chose, that action should result from us. If we remember someone, you'll act on their behalf. If you hear someone, you will obey their words. And if you know someone, you'll have a close relationship with them. It's got to be a bit of a drop from our head to our heart in all of this. And that's a challenge. Another word there in the Shema is Echad, the one and only, the only God. There's been a bit of a debate, and I'm not going to bore you with the debate that's going on between Christians and Hebrews about this whole thing, but sometimes we get a little confused when we read it. Is this talking about that God is one, so therefore it's a proof text for the Trinity? Well, no, not really. It's not a proof text for the Trinity, the other texts that we can look at. This is talking about God as being the only God. He is the only one. He's the one who is alone. There is no other God. You might hear the story that, well, that, you know, there's your view of God and my view of God, you know, might be different, but there's many paths up the mountain. You know, we all worship God at the end of the day. I've heard that story in my ministerial life for I don't know how long. Everybody said, well, we all worship the same God in our way, don't we? No. No. No, we don't. And I think this is why Jesus, when he turned to the Sadducee, and he said, what's the essence? What is the thing about the will of God? What is it about God? He said, he is the God who is the only one. There is none other. So the big question, if we are hearing Shema, if we're hearing today, is there another God in our life? Or is he the only one? And am I to worship him with my whole being, with all my soul, all my emotions, all my strength, all my body, all my mind, all my intellect, everything that I've got, to worship him? Because he is the only God. Is there a message in here for us? I sense there might be. It's a call for our absolute allegiance to God. So often it's kind of read like a prayer or like a creed, better understood as an oath of allegiance, a twice daily recommitment to the covenant with God. I wonder what would happen if all our children every day heard and recited the Shema. Every day. And we hear it every day. If you read this line, the Shema, without committing oneself to God as one's Lord, and I'm quoting someone else here, it flows directly into the next line in the Shema, explaining why we should love God with every fiber of our being. If the Lord alone is our God, and we worship no other gods, we can love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, with all our being. But if we've got divided loyalties, we can't. So is the Shema important?
I believe it is.
It's important for us as Christ followers today, more so than ever before. Because when you consider us as the church, and I don't want to give you a hard time here, because I'm only giving myself a hard time if I do. But when you think about us as the church, I'm not just talking about our particular parish, but as the church in this country, do we need some more passion? Do we need to get rid of some idols in our lives? Do we need to come back to the God who is the only God? Do we need to worship Him? And by the way, worship is not singing songs on a wall. It's an expression of it. But according to Romans 12, worship is the giving of our lives in every part of it. Our work, our play, our recreation, our fun. It's a life given up wholeheartedly, 100%. Shema. Hear, O Israel. Listen, O Israel. The Lord, our Lord, is the Lord alone. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for the scripture that speaks so loudly, and yet so often I don't hear and I don't comprehend and I don't act. God, I ask today that you would help me and that you would help my sisters and brothers who are listening here today. Lord, that we might hear your word, act on it, obey it, and find it is the very best way possible for living. Lord, I feel that there's so much misery, so much pain, so much that just goes wrong in family life, because Shema is not there. We don't hear, we don't listen, and we don't obey. So God, I pray that you would help me and you'd help my sisters and brothers. You would help our nation to hear you, Lord. That we might be a people who obey you and receive the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that name I pray. Amen. Our wonderful team are going to lead us in a song that I know you know very well. Amazing Grace. It's the Matt Redman version. My chains are gone, and I think it's very appropriate. That's the chosen song for the conclusion of the band. And during this, we're going to receive our offerings. Thank you. Thank you. skills and the abilities, the talents that you give us to earn money. And Lord, we come as good people that have responded to you and give the first fruits, the tithe, back to you. Lord, bless this money, we pray, in Jesus' name. And now may grace, mercy, and shalom be with all of us. Amen. Thank you. And thank you, team, for leading us. Always we want to encourage you, not just to have a morning tea, that's a given. But you know, if you come here today and there's stuff that you would like someone to pray with you about, you don't need to carry the burden alone. Always here for that. God bless.